Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Roundtable intern Isaiah Agoho. The visibility of issues facing the transgender community is at an all-time high. In October, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo enacted an executive order to include gender identity under the definition of sex in the 1945 Human Rights Act, which will start providing employment and housing protections to transgender individuals. New York will be the 19th state to provide such protections to the trans community. Three representatives of the organization Affirming Transgender Rights spoke with me about the reinterpretation of the law and what issues are facing trans men and women today. They are Bergen Finkelman, a lawyer who does pro bono work for trans advocacy, and Mara and Renata, who have asked us to withhold their last names for safety reasons. We start off our discussion by defining what being transgender means.
It's a simple definition in terms of what it means to be transgender, or how people say, when we're born, the doctor, the midwife looks between your legs and they see a penis or they see the vagina, and they say, that's a girl, it's a boy. And that's the sex you're assigned at birth. And based on that sex, there's an assumption that your gender will also be male or female. And so for someone who is a transgender woman, she was assigned male at birth, but her gender is female and she's presenting as female. A transgender man is someone who was assigned female at birth.
Renata and Mara, as trans women, what are your experiences like communicating this to the people close to you?
When I first came out to my mother, the way I went about it, you never actually know how people are going to feel about it. So I figured if I asked her what she knew about it, then I could maybe set her straight, because otherwise she was, I had assumed that she would go with her imagination, whatever that she was familiar with or knew, I guess. So I asked her that first. I said, I need to tell you something. It's important. But what do you know about the word transgender? And what she said to me was, is that like where men dress up as women and sing show tunes? And so that was kind of a relief. Okay. She's not actually aware of what I'm talking about. I can tell her about this and explain it to her. And so I said, there are certain gender roles that I feel like that I can fulfill that I wasn't able to fulfill when people assumed that I was male.
And you, Renata?
Before I came out, but when I realized I was a transgender person, I went home and told my partner. And she had a great deal of difficulty with it. And as long as I would not say anything and sit in a closet and deny who I was, she was okay. But when that stopped, she left. 32 years.
When you're forced to live in the closet by somebody you love or somebody you've spent a lot of time with.
Love.
How do you process that?
Well, you really don't. And what you end up doing is said, well, what I ended up doing was saying, okay, well, she likes to be taken care of. So I started doing the laundry, the ironing, all the housework, the grocery shopping, the cooking, all those female sorts of things that society says females do. And she took it. She was happy. And then when it got unbearable for both of us, which it did, she said, you empowered me to ignore who you were. That is tough. Then, with my kids, two of them were just fine. The third one's wife sent me a really nasty voicemail and caused enormous problems still that I can't visit my son in Chicago at his house, and he can't come here because she didn't approve of it.
Wow.
And we get along. I mean, wouldn't you say, Bergen, you know?
You and your son.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's put stress on him, unmerciful stress. And that created a substantial level of depression for me.
And you would say that this is normal throughout the entire trans community?
Maybe a little different in the format than what it is. But yeah, I'd say it's that kind of rejection by people you know is what a prime cause of and people you love.
So I always hear about how liberating it can be to come out of the closet, but from what I understand, it can also be a really risky endeavor, especially for trans men and women. Can you speak to that?
Coming out and coming out to myself as transgender and then making the decision to transition, there were all sorts of stresses that were alleviated. And I certainly feel a lot better having made the decision to do that. However, it's brought a whole lot of other things. I mean, this summer where I was interning, I had come out at work and I came to the realization, you know, reading about other people's stories that they could be kicked out of their apartment or where they live because they're transgender. That's a legal thing to do in most states in the country. So an employer had a problem with how I was choosing to present myself, or the person who I was renting from could make a decision to just kick me out on that basis. It left or it has created kind of a generalized anxiety to be afraid of where you get your income, where you live, that can be taken away, and that's perfectly legal. That's scary.
On top of the lack of housing and employment protections offered to trans people, aren't trans men and women also at a higher risk of assault and murder?
The count, I've gotten very frustrated. I don't know where the count is because it is so frustrating to hear about. But there are upwards of 20 trans women who have been murdered in this country. This year, which is significantly more than in previous years. It's perhaps due to the rise in visibility of trans people. And again, that number is very significant due to how much of the U.S. population the transgender community represents, which the estimates are 0.7 to 1% of the U.S. population. To have that high a murder rate is not an it's scary and it's frustrating and
it's unacceptable.
And that adds to that that general feeling of anxiety. And I think my experience is fairly exceptional. I'm in an extremely privileged position. I'm able to have my profession and I have the support of my family. But for somebody who has been abandoned by their family, who faces, can't get a job, can't find a place to live, and then to hear and be in that position where they're subject to violence it's out there. And again, it's just, I'd say I'm frustrated at this point to hear it.
Actually, as I'm listening to you talk, one of the things that's coming to my mind and I'm wanting to talk about is that doing transgender advocacy work is really, really important work. And that, as you know, it can often be difficult to get transgender people out to do transgender advocacy work. And part of that is not everybody is inclined to do political advocacy work. But another big part of it is when coming out and letting people know that you're transgender makes your life more dangerous, subjects you to potential harassment or violence. It's very hard to convince people to come out into the spotlight and do advocacy work. And this is, you know, just another reason why we have to make it illegal to discriminate against transgender people, add them to the human rights law, in addition to what Governor Cuomo has done, which is a very important step, and it's a huge step forward. But we still need the legislature to add transgender people, gender identity, to the human rights law because it sends a huge message to people that it is unacceptable to treat transgender people differently, to treat them badly, that the violence won't be accepted. And, you know, people do over time accept even what they don't understand.
Bergen, you touched on what Governor Cuomo did, which was an executive order to change the definition of sex to include gender identity in the Human Rights Act, which is going to provide housing and employment protections to transgender individuals in New York State. Can any one of you tell me why that isn't enough and why the legislature needs to do more?
The reason is that if Governor Cuomo doesn't run or is defeated in the next election, and somebody who didn't like transgender rights can rescind it the first day in office. So the protections are there one day, and the next day they're no longer there.
Right.
The only way you guarantee ongoing protection is through amending the human rights law.
I like to say what can be done by executive order can be undone by executive order. And while changing the regulations to include gender identity and transgender in the definition of sex and by adding gender dysphoria under the covered disabilities it's a huge step. It will make a big difference in the lives of a lot of transgender people, but it's not the same as saying the human rights law protects transgender individuals.
Do you think that these protections needed to be done by executive order? Because the New York Senate kept passing on the Gender Expression Anti-Discrimination Act, otherwise known as GENDA, for years.
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting question. Senator Flanagan, after Governor Cuomo announced that he was going to have the Division of Human Rights add, you know, change the definition of sex to include gender identity and transgender and disability to consider gender dysphoria as a disability, Senator Flanagan came out and criticized Governor Cuomo for using his executive power in this way. And his complaint was that it's a legislative function. Flanagan said it doesn't have anything to do with the subject matter, which is transgender rights, but that he objects to Governor Cuomo doing by executive order what is essentially, Flanagan says, a legislative function. However, the Senate has had 13 years to consider bringing this bill to the floor, 8 years where it was passed in the Assembly, and the Senate still wouldn't. They buried it in committee every single year. They won't even bring it up for a conversation. So if the legislators won't do their job, then I think it's perfectly acceptable and necessary for the executive to do what Governor Cuomo did and to take a stand and say, this is important. It's absolutely embarrassing and appalling that New York State, which has always been a leader in equality and human rights, does not have transgender people as part of the human rights law. It's embarrassing to me as a citizen of the state of New York, and I can't really quite fathom what the Republican Senate majority is thinking, both because it's embarrassing, it's wrong, they have to know discrimination is wrong, and, you know, discrimination, anti-discrimination laws are the reason that people like Senator Flanagan of Irish ancestry is where he is today, because his ancestors benefited from laws that said you can't discriminate against people because they're Irish. You can't discriminate against people because of their religion. So it's somewhat ironic that Senator Flanagan and other, I don't know that there's anyone in the Senate who doesn't have a name that shows some ancestry that benefited from anti-discrimination laws, that they are so willing to ignore the plight of transgender New Yorkers and let people suffer and let all taxpayers suffer by having to pick up the costs that are associated with people who are living lives that, based on the fact that they're discriminated against and rejected, and it's absolutely appalling and shouldn't be happening.
Bergen, didn't I read on your blog that it's actually more expensive to discriminate against trans people?
Right. It's absolutely. And to me, I mean, one of the things that we do in advocacy is we try to convince legislators, give them the reasons that would make sense to them why the Senate should take up and pass transgender protections, add transgender to the human rights law. One of the most important reasons, I would think, to the Republican senators is the fact that it costs millions of dollars every year to discriminate against transgender people. There are studies that show the numbers, and they can be found at the Williams Institute out of UCLA did the study, and they know it's millions of dollars because when somebody has a job, they're paying taxes, they have health insurance, they come out as transgender at work, they lose their job, they lose their health insurance. I know a couple of people who have gone through their entire life savings while trying to find another job, have been unable to do so because they're transgender, and it's okay not to hire somebody or even interview somebody if you know they're transgender. And then they end up on welfare. So they're not only not paying income tax, they're using social services, Medicaid, welfare, probably getting help with housing unless they're homeless, which is also not a good thing. So it's just millions of dollars, and you would think that the senators would be concerned about that money being wasted in that way. And it's unfortunate that they don't understand. And it's also, there's a safety issue. We know from law enforcement people that when everybody is protected under the law, everybody's equal, then everybody is safer. And the way this plays out is, if a transgender person is subjected to violence and they don't have protections, they often won't go to the police and report a crime because they're concerned about how they'll be treated by the police. And if they don't report the crime, guess where the criminal is? The criminal's still on the street and out there able to commit crimes against other people. And so everybody's safer when all crime is reported, and more crimes are reported when transgender people know that they have to be treated equally because it's the law.
That was Bergen Finkelman, Mayra, and Renata with the organization Affirming Transgender Rights. More information is available at affirmingtransgenderrights.com and at Bergen and Renata's blog, Transgender Talk, at blog.timesunion.com/transgender. I'm Isaiah Goho, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.